Hey everybody, Tangents is going to take a couple weeks off for the holidays, so we won't be recording any new episodes, but we'll still be posting some cool, fun stuff. This week we present an unlocked bonus episode, usually only available to SciShow Tangents Patreon patrons. In this episode, we try to stump Big Brain Sari with some very hard and some very stupid questions. And if you like what you hear, there are like a dozen more bonus episodes available on our Patreon, with more coming every month. Just go to patreon.com/scishowtangents to learn more and enjoy this bonus episode.
And welcome to the SciShow Tangents bonus episode, only for our Patreon patrons. I'm Hank Green, and joining me as always is science expert Sari Riley and our resident everyman Sam Schultz. So last month, we grilled Sam about science, and then we made fun of Sam. And this month, we're turning our attention to Sari. So we have put together a devious list of high school science quiz questions, and we're going to see just how smart Sari really is. I hate this for you.
No.
I'm so sorry.
I don't know if any of these questions even make any sense. I just got them all off.
Also, high school science is like pretty vague. It's been quite a few years since I've been in high school.
I also feel like I don't know. It'll be interesting to go through. I'm sure I will have opinions about which one of these things are actually important.
Do you want me to administer the test, Hank, and then you could see if you can answer?
Oh, sure.
Can't answer?
Sure. That's not. I will not look. But since we think that Sari might do, and or I will do fairly well on these quiz questions, this quiz, which is called, of course, Q and Bidet, we still want to make fun of Sari, so we snuck a few questions in about things that she definitely doesn't know anything about. And in between each category, there will be a lightning round in which we ask Sari questions about a classic song that she has only recently heard for the first time. So, Sam, can you start us off with our stupid game?
Hey, I worked really hard.
Very fun, yes. I had to do nothing for once in my life for SciShow Tangents. I could just sit back and be ready to be quizzed.
Also, Sam, I have to say that it is really important to work hard on stupid stuff sometimes. So
yeah,
absolutely.
That's all, you know, that's one of my goals in life. Mm-hmm. Okay, so first of all, I'm going to start you guys off with everyone's favorite field of science, biology. Mm. So this one should be okay. So Sari, I'm going to give you the option to I'm going to give you the chance to answer the question first, and then we'll go to Hank to see if he can answer it. Okay. So number one, which of the following is an example of endocytosis? A plasma membrane engulfing large materials so that they can enter the cell. Two, light and carbon dioxide being converted into carbohydrate and oxygen. You're shaking your head at that one. Yeah. Three, a vesicle transporting materials into a cell. Or four, a vesicle transporting materials out of a cell.
Number one is the most endocytosis, but I would say a vesicle transporting stuff into a cell. It's not like quite, but it's similar in that.
Both of those things are the same thing.
Yeah.
A plasma membrane versus a vesicle.
A vesicle is just like a little bubble holding other stuff and then fusing with the plasma membrane, as opposed to a cell like engulfing something else. That's like the instigator of the movement.
Right.
Feels slightly different, but.
Okay. Well, according to this test, number three is the correct answer. So Sari, you get the point.
Because you said either one or three.
What's number one? I said number one was more correct, so.
Maybe
I have an explanation.
Okay, hit us.
Okay,
hit
according to this website, the plasma membrane engulfing particles to enter the cell would be an example of pinocytosis, period.
What's a pinocytosis? No one. Pinot noir, pinocytosis. The cell's getting drunk and made up a term.
Yeah, no. We also have to allow for things having changed, maybe. Pinocytosis versus endocytosis. Lord almighty.
Yeah.
Do you know what pinocytosis is? Have you ever heard of it?
I've never heard of it before.
No.
I've heard of phagocytosis, which is like what a white blood cell does to it, like eats up. The little bad guys.
Little Pac-Man man.
Yeah, but never heard of pinocytosis.
Here's question number two. Okay. Which of the following statements is not true concerning enzymes? Number one, they lower the energy of activation. Number two, they increase the rate of a reaction. Number three, they increase the amount of products. Number four, they are biological catalysts.
They increase the amount of products is, I guess, the most fake. But by speeding up the reaction, there are technically more products. But
At certain times.
In a shorter amount of time.
The idea is, I think that what they're saying is that over an infinite time scale, there would be the same amount of products.
They're not a cloning machine.
Yeah. They don't create. Yeah. They can't create nothing. But like, there are situations in which enzymes will create more products. Like, that's just true. I'm sorry. that's bullshit pedantry. Like, there are situations in which, that is not a false statement. But anyway, that's the one that they want us to say.
Yeah, that's the most
that's
false.
That's the right answer. Okay, Sari, also each round is going to have a bit of a dummy question that is not related to science at all. It's related to something you don't know anything about, I assume.
Cool.
In the 1972 film The Godfather, what famous line is uttered by the character Clemenza after assassinating a disloyal associate? Number one, Merry Christmas, you filthy animal. Number two, now that's an offer no one could refuse. Number three, leave the gun, take the cannoli. Or number four, I believe you, but my Tommy gun don't.
Oh, no. In my head, I thought it was the only thing from The Godfather that I know, and I think you made fun of me for doing a horrible impression.
Oh, yeah.
Is the on this, the day of my daughter's wedding.
Uh-huh.
What was number two again?
Now that's an offer no one could refuse.
I think that one. That one feels like, now that's an offer. I don't want to do it.
Yes? What is it?
No. It's like a gravelly old man voice. Mm-hmm. I don't know what an Italian accent sounds like, though, so I'm going to offend everyone by trying to do it.
Yeah, maybe that's okay. Yeah. Well, also, that answer is incorrect, Sari.
Oh. Does Hank know?
Oh, yeah. Hank, do you know?
I watched the Godfather trilogy after getting my wisdom teeth out and do not remember any of it. So I'm going to say, Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
I'm so sorry, Hank. That's from Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
I thought that was just a Sam phrase.
And the second one, Sarah, that you said was something that I just made up because I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse is something that they say in The Godfather.
Mm.
The correct answer is leave the gun, take the cannoli.
Oh, my gosh.
They go out on a chore to pick up cannolis and they kill the guy on the way. And then they're walking away, but they're like, oh, wait, we forgot something. And they take the cannolis with them.
I'm not the biggest fan of cannolis. Just I wouldn't take the cannoli. I would leave the gun and then just walk out probably.
You're a bigger fan of guns than cannolis?
No, I don't like either. So I would like, leave the gun, leave the cannoli. Okay. I'm just going to
leave the gun, leave
here.
The cannoli, leave everything behind, go to Cabo. And I'm not involved in this anymore. I don't care.
Yes.
What if the cops knew you didn't like cannoli and they were like, that's cannoli hating Sari. That's your gang name.
I'm going to a non-extradition country, baby. I've watched enough crime shows that that's where people go.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay, number three. Which carbohydrate cannot be digested by humans? Glycogen, amylose, starch, or cellulose?
Starch is two things. Starch is amylose and amylopectin.
Uh-oh.
Cellulose, I guess, is the most obvious answer because it's the stuff that makes the structure of plant. It's the stuff that cleans out your digestive system.
Helps
because
you poop,
it's stringy.
Don't eat grass. What I
think. Come on. Just a little bit. The correct answer is cellulose. Yeah. I'm going to eat one blade.
You can have as much grass as you want, Sam. I'm just trying to keep Gen Z alive.
Well, I think that you can't really digest amylose very well because it's, I just edited a script based on this. So amylopectin has alpha-1-4 glycoside linkages or something like that. Mm. So it's like a little bit more chunky in the way that glycogen is, but amylose lays flatter and packs more compactly. So it is harder to digest, probably not as hard as cellulose, but... No. Yeah. Still hard to digest.
All right. Well, take that, high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. I took college organic chemistry.
Yeah. So here's the last question in the biology round. Filtration occurs in what section of the nephron?
Ooh.
Number one, distal convoluted tubule.
Fuck.
Number two, the loop of Henle. Number three,
You okay?
Glomerulus. Glomerulus. Or number four, proximal convoluted tubule.
So this is going to be a guess because I dropped out of my anatomy class in college. I was like, there's too much memorization. I'm not learning enough.
And I'm not going to be
an anatomy question.
This what is this? Yes. Okay. It's a kidney. So like a nephron. Yeah.
It doesn't explain
system.
Any of that in the question.
Questions aren't there to explain things, Sam.
But what if you need help?
I think if you're like, oh, it's a kidney, then now suddenly I know what the loop of Henle is. No, you're Whoa. Still screwed.
Okay, yeah, fine.
It's just like particular regions of the kidney, and I'm sure one like filters, one rebalances minerals, one just like is a storage chamber.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
But I'm going to say the loopy part.
The loop of Henle.
That sounds like a good. Yeah, that one.
Wrong.
I must say, is it the nephrons?
That's where we're talking about. What section of the nephrons is it?
It's in the nephrons. Look, you want me to be more specific than that in high school? I'm not going to cut open a cadaver right now. What's going on? Well, who needs to know this?
You got to look at the textbook diagram and memorize it.
I'm going to go with the distal convoluted tubule.
Unfortunately, those are both wrong. It's the glomerulus. Glomerulus filters the blood, resulting in the filtrate, which will then go through the tubules.
Okay.
Whatever that means. Oh,
I guess that makes sense. So there's like a part, this is what I interpret from that. There's a part of the kidney that's like, I am the place where I suck everything out. And then all the tubes are just like sends the whatever junk gets sucked out through all the tubes to rebalance.
Yeah.
The loop of Henle is where the piss goes, so that's important to know.
That is. It's delightful to know.
Should have known that because if it's named after a guy, it was discovered earlier.
Yeah.
Usually.
Very obvious, like as you cut open your cadaver, it's like, uh-oh, I cut this tube and the pee's coming out.
It's named after me now.
My name is Henle and I saw the pee. My favorite one of those is the mobile wad of Henry.
What is that?
So like I don't have well enough defined muscles, but if you like pull your arm toward your arm, there's this little like chunky bit of your forearm that comes out. It's several different muscles that are all sort of bound up together. Mm-hmm. So it's a bunch of your forearm muscles that like move around and like work together.
I'm all chunky bits, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I can't see what you're talking about.
Yeah, I even unbuttoned my shirt to show you guys my forearm as if there's like any way you can see a muscle.
Oh, no. Okay, so that was the end of that round. And now it is time for the first musical lightning round. Before recording, I had Sarah listen to some incredibly well-known songs that she had never heard before. The first song that she listened to was Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Mm.
Before we get into that, Sari, do you have any thoughts on the song Smells Like Teen Spirit?
So I listened to it once yesterday and once over breakfast today.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't understand a single word
That's of fine.
What they said.
There's a Weird Al version of this song where he talks about how the singer's mouth is full of marbles. Mm-hmm. So that was a well-known thing at the time.
I would agree with that. I don't think I've ever heard it before.
Okay.
But I think I may... So this is a contradictory information. I don't think I've ever heard it before. I didn't really care for it because I couldn't understand a single word. It was just kind of like a background soundtrack as I was eating my cereal. But I think I listened to a podcast where they mentioned it, and I know it's like named after some sort of deodorant.
Mm-hmm. Teen Spirit is a deodorant from a long time ago. That maybe still exists. I don't know. So is understanding words important to you in a song?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think probably because a lot of what the music that I've listened to is like solidly instrumental, like this is a video game, it's in the background, or musical theater. So it's like, I want to hear the words because the words are telling the story.
That's important. Sure. Okay, so you didn't like it though. How many stars out of 5 would you give it?
I don't want to be mean to them. 2?
I don't want to be mean.
That's mean.
So not 1.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't choose to listen to it again. I don't know if it played in a bar or something. I wouldn't be like, oh, that's that one.
Wow. Okay.
And so. I always thought it was Smells Like Team Spirit.
Sure.
And then it was only until I looked at the Spotify playlist that you made me that I was like, oh, it's teen, like a teenager.
Yeah. So good attempt by those talented young men. Maybe better luck next time. So here's some questions about the song.
Okay.
Number 1, what group performed this song?
Nirvana.
Great. Number 2.
I've played Rock Band.
Number two, who is the front man of the band Nirvana?
Oh, dear. One time my dad went with his sister to a tour of famous, this is kind of morbid, but like grave sites around Seattle. I don't know, he's from Seattle. Is it Kurt Cobain?
Oh, yeah, it is. Wait, how did you get that from knowing that your dad went to his grave?
I don't know. My dad only went to like Jimi Hendrix, Kurt Cobain, and like a couple others that I've since forgotten. So I had one of two chances, and I'm pretty sure Jimi Hendrix plays guitar and by himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't really play
sure,
by himself.
I'm pretty sure Jimi Hendrix wasn't the front man of Nirvana.
Yeah.
Okay, last question about this song. In what Western Washington state town did Nirvana form?
Seattle?
No, sorry. Aberdeen?
I don't know. Aberdeen, the only Aberdeen I know is in South Dakota.
I didn't know that either.
Well, it's like 60 miles from Kirkland. Isn't that where you grew up?
That's where I grew up, yeah. Yes, I've never been to Aberdeen, Washington. I've been to lots of small towns in Washington, but not.
Not that one. Okay. Next up is a field of science that Sari does not like quite as much, physics.
PV equals NRT. Is that an answer?
No. Number one, which of the following is not an international systems of units unit? Number one, degrees Celsius. Number two, hertz. Number three, ampere. Number four, pascal. Number five, mole.
What? Like a different not SI units?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess it's hertz.
Wrong.
Celsius.
Hell yeah. Hank stole it from
me.
It's Kelvin. Kelvin. We use Kelvin.
Oh, yeah, we do.
All the other ones are French, right? Is that seems like a clue.
I don't think hertz is French.
They're two related to electricity. So I was like, hertz or ampere, one of them's fake. But yes, I overlooked the obvious.
Yeah, it does feel very trick questiony. Is this from actual class?
Oh, well, no, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm going to beep out what the website is. It's from a website called...
Oh, God. We need to fix education, you guys.
That's what I'm learning here. So I took this quiz and I got like an F on it. So it's hard, you know, because I'm smart. Number two, a block is pushed with F newtons of force. Oh, what other information do we need in order to find the acceleration of the block? Number one, final velocity. Two, acceleration due to gravity. Three, work done on the block. Four, initial velocity. Five, mass.
Oh, I think you need initial velocity.
Mm-mm. That's one thing you don't. That's one thing you definitely don't need.
Oh, no.
But you do need other things. Yeah, there you go.
Uh-oh. Well, you don't get it. It doesn't count. But you got it.
Okay. It's the mass. Well, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, because velocity is irrelevant to acceleration. Because acceleration takes a current velocity out. So you can be moving at a certain speed, and then your acceleration doesn't matter. It takes into your account your initial velocity. But the thing about F equals ma is that you have to, like, only if there is no other forces acting on the block. If you have F newtons of force in a block, you have to say that it's friction, like a frictionless surface, because otherwise, like, you're not going to know the acceleration, because like that, you might not even overcome the coefficient of friction, and it just sits there. Like, I'm pushing on my cup, but it is going nowhere. Friction is an important one. But in physics land, they almost always are like, just ignore that for now, but they don't say it. They stop saying it eventually.
I don't want to say I hate physics. This is my problem with physics, is that I overthink things.
Yeah.
And that, like, I'm trying to imagine an object moving through the world. And with biology, I can do that very effectively. And with physics, I can almost never do it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's the next one. An object can never reach absolute zero in a finite number of steps. Which of these laws supports this statement?
Oh, God.
Third law of thermodynamics. Newton's first law. The statement is not supported by a standard law of physics. Or the second law of thermodynamics.
Oh, God. God, I have like a vague guess.
First law of thermodynamics is... I'm not even going to try a guess. I was like...
I thought you had it. There
one of them's an equal opposite reaction. One of them's... See, it's basically the idea that you can't make something stop completely. Like, there will always be atomic vibrations. And so that's the third law of thermodynamics. I don't know.
That's right.
Yeah, it's basically... That's the entropy law. That, like, things will always... be tending toward disorder. And for some reason, that means absolute zero. Like, you can't get there. Entropy is such a weird concept because it makes perfect sense to me. Like, it makes sense intuitively, like, your room gets dirty. It also makes sense that, like, a mathematical level, there are more states of disorder than states of order. But then when you try to be like, and the universe has lots, and this is the reason why time exists. I'm like, shut up. Like, you can't base physical laws on just, like, there are more states of disorder than order. And so time...
Even the idea that there are more states of disorder than order... like applied to headphones getting tangled or something like that, yeah, still blows my mind a little bit because it's like, but this is such a tangly state of disorder. Like, there are so many states of disorder that are less bad than this one. So why did it get this bad?
Okay, you ready for the next question?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
In the classic Simpsons two-parter, who shot Mr. Burns? Who shot Mr. Burns? Number one, Homer Simpson, who had recently been fired from Mr. Burns' nuclear power plant. Number two, bartender Mo Sizlak, whose bar had been closed due to fumes emitted by Mr. Burns' oil drilling operation. Number three, Maggie Simpson, a baby. Or number four, Waylon Smithers, Mr. Burns' personal assistant, who had recently resigned from his position due to Mr. Burns' new plan to block the sun from Springfield being too evil for his taste, and he had fallen into a deep depression. Who shot Mr. Burns?
I'm going to guess Mo the bartender.
Wow. What a bad guess. It's wrong.
Oh. Well, it felt like the most unexpected. It was like everyone else has a personal tie or a baby could just have a gun in the Simpsons universe.
It's the baby. You were right. It's the most unexpected
The baby just has a gun was literally the answer. Yeah. Have you ever seen a single episode of The Simpsons?
Probably passively. My dad watched early seasons of The Simpsons, and I do remember very distinctly going to... I joke, but I think it's partially serious, that part of the reason why he had kids is so he could get three Happy Meals instead of one and get the toys. And so when the Burger King had Simpsons Halloween-themed toys, and so we ate at Burger King a lot anyway, but we went extra to get all the toys between me and my brother and my dad.
That's very sweet.
It is very sweet.
Your dad sounds like a man after my own heart.
Mm-hmm.
Final question of the physics round. Enthalpy is a measure of blank. One, how easily something changes temperature. Number two, total energy of a thermodynamic system. Number three, total energy lost in heat transfer. Or number four, the conversion of energy to heat.
I forget. Enthalpy. Enthalpy. I think it's the conversion of energy to heat.
You shouldn't think that because it's wrong.
Oh, no. Is it the total amount of thermodynamic energy in a system?
It is.
Yes.
I have like a first instinct, and then with physics questions, I'm like, that can't be it. That simply can't be. And then I go with my second instinct.
You know what? You had that same instinct for the who shot Mr. Burns question.
Yep.
And also for everything in your entire, like every question you've ever answered on SciShow Tangents ever. So.
You're always going with your second impulse, and you should really never do that.
Here's a second musical lightning round. So for this round, we had Sarah listen to The Thong Song. So before we get into questions on The Thong Song, any thoughts on The Thong Song, Sarah?
This one I wasn't sure whether I had heard before, because I'm pretty sure it's like played and people around me have gone, oh, The Thong Song. But it did not register at all familiar to me. When I told Sylvia, my partner, I listened to it, then she started singing it. And I was like, that's it? Even though I had just listened to it.
You didn't recognize it when she sang it?
No.
Okay.
It was very forgettable, is what I'm saying.
Holy shit.
It's fine. It seems like...
What a horrible thing to say.
Yeah, it was a fine song. I didn't think it was quite catchy, but I'm also not the target demographic. I don't like dancing, and I don't like clubs. And I don't like low-rise jeans.
Interesting.
I'm wearing very high-waisted shorts right now. So even I have never worn a thong. So all of those together.
You couldn't relate to it at all?
No. Unrelatable.
I couldn't relate to it.
even if I were to be looking at a girl in the club, then I would not be looking for a thong, I don't think. So.
Okay. Well, I think if this song came on in any club in the entire world, by the very first millisecond of the song, everyone would be losing their minds, probably. They'd be so happy that it was playing. But you're just built different, and that's okay. So here are some questions about the song. Number one, what musical artist performed this song?
This I don't remember. This is the one that I didn't recognize.
I knew you weren't going to remember that.
It has a Q in it, which I thought was weird. Mm-hmm. It was like...
you ever watch Deep Space Nine?
No.
That won't be helpful then. Okay.
That helped me, though. now I know.
Oh dear. I don't know.
No, it wasn't Sun Q. Hank, who was it?
Cisco with a Q.
It's Cisco.
I thought it was Nelly. I was just wrong. Mm. I feel like Cisco kind of only did that.
Yeah, but that's a lot. He did a lot for us, and then he left.
It's true.
Number two, according to the song, what did she have dumps like? What
dumps
did she
like?
Have dumps
oh, like a
like?
Truck.
That's what it was.
Which
it
I was thought like was quite odd. Is he talking about her poops?
No, he's talking about her. He's talking about her butt.
Her butt.
Oh. Well, okay. I have never heard dumps related to butt. Dumps is poop.
I mean, it is poop.
Dumps is more commonly poop. It's true.
Yeah. And so that's why I thought it was like kind of rude that he was talking about her poop and then talking about how much he liked her butt. Like you're watching someone dance in a club and you're like, oh, she dumps like a truck. Like that's what I was thinking. Like one of those big.
Man, I bet that girl has some big dukes.
Yeah. It's like whatever you're into, dude. But like that is not what I would like to project if I was trying to flirt with someone.
Okay. Well, the final question is more of an essay question. When Cisco was touring with this song, his hair was dyed platinum white. What reason did he give for his hair being that color?
He wanted to usher in the future age of music. And we all know that platinum or like chrome is the color of the future.
That's a really good guess, but it was because according to him, the first time he saw a thong, it turned his hair white because he was so excited about it.
I mean, that's a win. That's a huge win for it. That's great. I love it when people make up stories that are definitely fake and everyone knows that they're fake, but like, it's just such a good story. Or like, I saw a thong and my hair just turned shock white. It was like a plane crash.
Okay, and then the final category is more essay questions. So we gathered some questions from our dear Patreon patrons that require more long-form answers.
This is Q and Bidet. This is the Q and Bidet section of the podcast.
Okay, the final category is Q and Bidet. Jared Mandel asks, could a fungus like Cladosporium spherospermum, whatever that one that lived in Chernobyl, could that exist on the surface of Mars?
I would guess... probably not, because even though it adapted to radiation, on Earth. Mm-hmm. And so I assume that the fungus still needs some combination, like Earth's atmosphere with like oxygen and other nutrients that are found in Earth soil or like Earth decomposing matter. Mm-hmm. And I think that the radiation that came from Chernobyl, it's like ionizing radiation. And this is where my answer, I should just stop instead of like keep talking, but I'm going to keep talking, is different than solar radiation. And so I think that you can't necessarily, like even if it's a radiotrophic fungus and like uses that radiation in some productive way, I don't think it would be the same if it was just getting direct solar radiation from the sun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They would both be ionizing radiation, but they are different kinds of ionizing radiation. Do you do research, Sam?
I did a little bit of research. According to what I found, they did put this fungus on the International Space Station for 30 days and exposed it to space radiation, whatever that is. And they found that it absorbed, that a layer of fungus 2 millimeters thick absorbed 2% of the cosmic radiation and could live through it. So if they put it on Mars, it would be too cold. So you can't grow it just on Mars.
Yeah.
But you could have it in some kind of protected environment absorbing radiation on Mars, and it would probably live. And they're looking into possibly lining buildings on Mars with it, because if you had a 21 centimeter thick layer of this fungus, it would be enough to protect the people inside from harmful space radiation, is the theory right now.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you're right or wrong. I'll just say that you were right, because you can't grow it on Mars, but not exactly for the reasons you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I should have stopped talking.
Yeah.
When I said I should have stopped talking.
That was actually exactly when you started to be wrong. So, yeah.
I'm very good at knowing when I'm starting to get into dicey territory, but did that help me on my tests? No.
Okay. Here's the next one. Ariel Rojas asks, were Ross and Rachel on a break?
Is this about the TV show Friends?
It is.
Ross is the shitty one, right? And no one likes him?
Yeah, they're all shitty, but no one likes Ross.
Okay. I'm guessing this question is in context of Ross cheating on Rachel or something like that.
That's the whole crux of the conversation. Did he or did he not cheat on her? Because they were maybe on a break or maybe not.
I see. Okay. I don't know. Judging by the general public impression of Ross, he just doesn't seem like a very good communicator. So I could see him saying like, oh, no, we were on a break, but that not being communicated. And so I think it would be considered cheating because they didn't communicate well in their relationship.
So they
were not on a break.
They were not on a break.
Is there a canon?
It's pretty much exactly what you said. Well, I wouldn't argue that anyone's saying that they weren't on a break. Because Rachel was the one who said we're on a break, but he slept with someone else the same night they went on a break, which is classless.
Yeah.
So it's not, the excuse doesn't hold up.
Yeah. This is what I think that they were on a break, but I also think don't.
Yeah. Ross, just don't.
that's not like an end to the monogamy. That's a moment of reflection. it's like, oh, we're on a break. I need to go home and think about that. No, not, oh, we're on a break. Finally.
Okay, that was it for all the questions. You answered them all, except we have one more musical lightning round.
Okay.
This final song, When Doves Cry. Sari, what did you think of When Doves Cry?
You didn't ask me about my favorite one. I liked the other one. I was going to give 5 stars to the one that you didn't ask me about.
I'm sorry. To the David Bowie's Life on Mars, is that what
it was? I really liked that one. That was my favorite of the bunch.
It's a great one.
Yeah.
The other ones I feel like are more universally known and beloved.
That checks out with me that I would like the least universally known song.
Yeah.
I thought it was okay. I don't think I've ever heard, and I might be wrong, I don't think, I know the artist is Prince. I don't think I've ever heard another Prince song before, because I looked at it specifically. I was like, I don't think I've heard this person sing before.
There's some fantastic ones. That's a deep catalog.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll check it out maybe. Probably not. But if you send me one, I'll listen to it.
Okay, I probably won't do that.
It was fine. I would say it was my second favorite of the 4 songs.
Okay. How many stars would you give it?
3.
Okay. Number 2. In 1992, what did Prince change his name to?
Oh, no.
Famously.
Very famously. Everybody made fun of it so much.
Really? Oh, yeah. Dear. Purple something. Purple.
It was purple.
He liked purple, I think.
Okay.
I don't know.
Just a shape.
Circle?
No, circle. It was a specific shape that he made up.
It was a shape, an unpronounceable symbol, sometimes referred to as love symbol number 2. But people, when they had to say his name, called him the artist formerly known as Prince, which maybe
I have heard
some variation of. Yes.
Love symbol number 2 is also a color, though, and that color is purple. So maybe Sari was right.
Yeah.
Well, I just know he liked purple.
And that was actually my third question. What is Prince's signature color?
Oh.
Purple.
Boom, done.
So you knew more about Prince than you thought you did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. That's the end of my test.
I think Sari got an A+.
I think she did too. I think what we learned is maybe be careful and what you're picking to be your study guide helper if you are in high school. Don't pick the first one you Google.
Thank you, everybody, for supporting us on Patreon and having a good old time with us today on our special bonus podcast just for you. It was a joy, and we'll see you next time. For Q and Bidet.
No.